that we titled Call to Duty. And we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. There must be some gamers in here. I hear somebody laughing. But we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. And I'm going to dedicate our next few moments together this morning to just really clarifying and dispelling some myths that people have about spiritual warfare. And then, of course, next week is Easter, but then the week after we'll continue this series and start to talk about the weapons that God has given us. But this morning I want to really take a look at some truths and some things that will help us understand what spiritual warfare is and what spiritual warfare is not. Because there's people out there with some crazy ideas on what spiritual warfare is. And we need to realize who our enemy is. We need to realize the weaponry that he has or does not have. And what we've been given and how to fight that battle accordingly. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today that you would give me words of wisdom to communicate beyond my ability the truth of your gospel, the truth of what you've done for us and the authority that we have in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ephesians 6:12, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Let me just say this morning, people are not the enemy. For some of you, that might be disappointing this week because you thought maybe I was going to give you an opportunity to club somebody. I don't know. But people are not the enemy. And the Bible says here that we wrestle with principalities and powers. But we want to talk about that a little bit because it's not really what we think. We're not getting in a cage fight with the devil. Come on, somebody. That is not what this is. We are wrestling for the battle of our mind. All right? And we're going to get into that and clarify that. But this morning, I want us to realize who the devil is and how he has been stripped of his authority, and what the authority is that now we have been given. See, we wrestle with principalities, but what they do is they try to distract us. They try to get us off course, if you will. I just put it this way. They do everything they can, and all it takes sometimes is just a little thought to get us off center, off the focus that we should have on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, the devil will sometimes try to get you and I to doubt the word of God, to doubt the promises of God, which the Bible says are yes and amen in Christ. There's some people that don't even think the devil is real. So I just want to say this morning, the devil is real. He is a real created being, all right? We're going to talk more about how his authority has been stripped away, but he is real. It's amazing to me how some people can say they believe in God and say, well, I don't know about the devil, though. I really don't believe in him. Sometimes we think the devil is like a fairy tale. You know, sometimes we get the good angel on one shoulder and the bad angel devil on the other shoulder thing in our head, and we think that that's, and that is true to some extent, but listen, the devil is not a fairy tale. He is a very real created being, created by God, all right? Others think that the devil can do anything he wants and control our lives. That is not true, all right? We need to understand that. He's not a fairy tale. He's real, but he can't just do whatever he wants to do. As a matter of fact, some people, I think watch out for number one, because if number one isn't happy with you, number two, the devil will get you. That is terrible theology. First of all, God is number one, so you're right there. But number two, the devil isn't even close. The Bible says he's been placed under our feet. And we'll look at scriptures this morning that will show us about the authority that you and I have. And so he's not number two. He's not even close. He's a zero. Come on, somebody. You know, Jesus took and made him a zero and made you and I heroes. And that's the truth of the gospel of Christ. Some people believe in the devil so much that they think he is active constantly in their lives. That also is not true, all right? Now, I believe he has teams of demonic influences that can come to try and distract you, but most of us, most of the time, are not battling with the devil himself, who is a being. Remember, the Bible tells us that Lucifer fell from heaven. That is who we call the devil. But the Bible says he took a third of the angels with him. And most of us are wrestling with thoughts that those little demons have placed in our heads. Some of it's just our own thoughts, our own flesh, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But we need to realize, look, the devil is not wreaking havoc in your life, probably. If it feels like your life is all hell busting loose, it's probably for some other reason. And we'll talk about that this morning. The devil does not have the same attributes as God. God is omniscient, which means all-knowing. The devil is not all-knowing. He is not all-knowing. He only knows something when you tell him, when you speak it out. I'm going to show you. He doesn't know everything you think he does. 1 Corinthians 2:8, It says that none of the rulers of this age knew about the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the victory he gave to us. It says, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. They don't know what you're thinking until you open your mouth. So listen, keeping your mouth shut is good. It's good spiritual warfare. A lot of times the devil doesn't even have to mess with us. I believe he's real. I believe that he is a foe. I believe that he is defeated. But most of the time, he isn't even messing with most Christians. Most of us, we're just speaking words, and there might be just some little demon that comes by and just flutters by and puts some thought in your head. You say, well, how can you talk that way? Listen, they do not have authority over us. If we take control of our thoughts, we have the victory through Christ Jesus. He doesn't know until you open your mouth. James 1:19, look what it says. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I know that describes most of us. We may not speak it. We may just get on Facebook and put it out there for the world to see. Then not only do we have our own thoughts and maybe a demon that's going to kind of play, wreak havoc in our minds, but then we got all of our friends who don't agree with what we said, and they're sending us messages, and we got all that to deal with too. Hello. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Not only is God all-knowing, he's all-powerful. The devil is not all-knowing, and the devil is not all-powerful. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It goes on in verse 9, it says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. And so really the picture the Bible gets is even though we're doing battle, what we're doing is we're resisting the enemy, and he's a defeated enemy. We're resisting his deception. We're resisting his lies. The Bible calls him a liar. And if you think about it, if he has to lie to deceive us, how could he possibly be all-powerful? You wouldn't have to tell a lie if you were all-powerful. God doesn't have to lie. The Bible says that God can't lie. Why? Because God is all-powerful. That's why, because God is God. But the devil isn't all-powerful. He needs to lie. He needs to deceive us. He needs to try and get us into thinking that we don't have the blessings of God that God has given to us. Most people, he stumps up by just telling them, you know, that sin that you did yesterday, God's done with you. It's over. You're not righteous. Maybe Pastor Tony, but not you. Say, liar! You just need to call it what it is. The devil is a liar. The Bible says that if you're in Christ Jesus, you are the righteousness of God, and no one can take that from you. And that's a good place to start right there. I mean, most of us, we just wrestle with that, and the devil's like, they don't even know they're righteous. We don't even have to mess with this house. John 8:44, here's what Jesus said about him. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, if Jesus called the devil a liar, I'm going to call the devil a liar because that is good doctrine. The only way that the devil can make things happen is to get us to believe a lie, but he has been disarmed by the power of Jesus Christ, and he has no power over those who know who they are in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:15, it says that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus had the victory, and he's given it to you and I. Number three, God is omnipresent, everywhere, all of the time. The devil is not everywhere all the time. Some of you may think he is, but he's not. He is not everywhere all the time. The devil has other spirits, as we've already mentioned, that come around lying, deceiving us. Let me just say this tonight, or this morning rather. Chances are you did not fight the devil last night. The Bible says we should resist him, and really it's talking about the kingdom of darkness, resisting that. And like I say, most of us, if we're dealing with demons at all, it's I believe, very small-ranking demons. And the reason I say that, if the devil is one created being, which he is, if he's a liar and has to deceive, I don't think he's going to worry about most of us. He's probably going to pick on somebody like Joel Osteen. Why? Because they're reaching more people. If he can get inside his head, he's done more damage. And so we have to realize, look, last night, the devil didn't show up in your bedroom and move your bed around. Maybe you ate pizza too late, all right? Now listen, and you may be thinking, well, you said he was real. He is real, but chances are he's not doing battle with you and me. There could be times, but he's deceiving us at best, and chances are because he can't be everywhere all the time. What I want to help you with this morning is you do not need to be afraid of the devil. You do not need to be afraid of the dark. You do not need to be afraid of the devil moving around your bedroom at night. You may have to be afraid of what you ate before you went to bed. All right? Hello. Jesus defeated him. If you think God needs you to defeat the devil, I'm just going to say this morning, you are full of pride. Because Jesus took care of it. You know, I've met people before who say, well, I was wrestling with the devil, and I was over here, and oh, the devil's just wreaking havoc. And it's kind of, you want to say, pap, 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 shut up. All right? Most of us, most of the time, our battle is really with our thoughts. Sometimes the devil doesn't even have to get involved, as I've already said. We are not wrestling. What we're doing is so many times we don't know the word, so we can't stand on the word. Or we're just allowing every thought, every desire, every lust of the flesh that we can think of doing, we just live that way. And so we're kind of oblivious to anything spiritual. And so the devil doesn't even have to mess with us. And that's the truth of the matter. If we knew who we were in Christ Jesus, we could get something done. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one that has given us the victory. Again, most people have problems because they don't understand the word. They don't understand what the word says and the authority that God has given to you and I as believers. Remember, the devil is seeking to devour those who isolate themselves. Those who isolate themselves. I mean, you think about it. A roaring lion, one who's on the prowl, is not going to go and attack a whole herd. He's going to attack the one that strays behind. And that is usually what happens with the devil. We people who really get waylaid by the devil and his demonic influences are people who cut off association with other Christians, people who are not involved with other people, growing in the Word, feeding on the Word, praying, having communion together, learning what the Bible says, praying for one another. That's why we encourage you to get in small groups. We're always talking about that, whether it's a men's breakfast or a home group or a women's meeting or our CR meetings on Thursday night. There's so many different things going on. And if you can't make one of those, call up a friend and just get together for coffee, for goodness sake, and talk about the Word of God. Somebody once said that an old lion has no teeth, and he roars to frighten you. And I think that's partially true. It says in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all, say all, the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. He says here, he's given us full authority over all the enemy, and nothing by any means will harm us. The devil has been taken care of. We wrestle with thoughts, not with flesh and blood, but with thoughts. Most of us have not defeated our own flesh. Our problem is not a devil problem. Most of us, our problem is a flesh problem. I'm not talking about your works of righteousness to be made right with God. That's impossible. I'm just talking about disciplining our flesh a little bit, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, getting into a place where we take time to read the Word of God and to pray and to seek God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus said to seek the kingdom of heaven when? First. And then all these things will be added. And what we need to be doing is disciplining ourselves to get our eyes fixed on Jesus. James 1:14, this is most of our problems. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. And so many of us, that is our battle. We're not even really entering into spiritual warfare because we're not even disciplining our flesh to be able to watch what we say, to be able to pray the Word of God, to be able to stand on the Word of God. Because then we could be doing some spiritual warfare. We could be resisting the devil, because the only way you can resist those thoughts is to replace them with thoughts that are contrary to the fear and the doubt that the enemy is trying to place in your mind. And the only way you can combat that is the Word of God. It's the only way you can do it. It's the only way that you and I can win this warfare that we're in. In his book, Spiritual Warfare, Joseph Prince says this: the way in which you approach spiritual warfare is very important. If you enter it trying to win a battle that has already been won by Christ, then it's a form of self-righteousness. Listen, you and I have got to realize that we have a battle to do, but it's a battle for our thoughts. It's a battle for the Word of God, that the enemy, Jesus said, he's trying to steal the seed of the Word that has been sown in our hearts. But the Word's got to get sown there first. God has not given us a job of defeating the devil. Jesus did that. And now what we do is we stand, say stand, in the victory that God has given us. The devil is not this big creature that Hollywood depicts. We have these pictures of what the devil is. He has been defeated, and he is a defeated foe, and the only weapon that he has is deception. I cannot say that enough this morning. He is a slithering snake. The Bible says in the Garden of Eden that after he tempted Adam and Eve, his punishment was that he was made into a snake that would crawl on his belly all the days of his life. You think about it, there's nothing lower than a snake. And that is such a good picture of the devil. He is under our feet. Come on, somebody. He is under our feet. He is a slithering snake. He does not have unlimited power, but Jesus has given us power over what? All the enemy, and nothing by any means will harm us. And I want to spend time this morning talking about this before we even get into the weapons that God has given us, because if we don't understand this, the weapons will do us no good. We have got to understand that we have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. God has put us in a place of authority. He has stripped the devil of all authority. And the only thing we need to do now is resist him steadfastly in the faith by meditating on the Word of God, by believing the Word of God, and by living a life that the Bible says that Jesus has purchased for us. In fact, you want a picture of the devil talking of the fall of Lucifer. It says in Isaiah 14:16, it says, "Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms?'" Listen, you and I, if you don't learn anything else today, you need to learn that the devil has been so destroyed and so defeated that the Bible says when everyone looks at him in that last day, when everything's revealed, they're going to go, is that it? Is that him? I mean, that's what he's saying. Is that the one that destroyed the kingdoms? That's how pitiful it is. But if you and I would just stand, say stand, on the Word of God. See, the devil wants you and I to think that he's an all-powerful God. He's not. I have a clip I want to show you in just a moment. How many ever saw the movie The Avengers? There's a scene in The Avengers that I just love. And it's a time where the Hulk does battle with Loki. And Loki stands there and he says, "I'm a god, I'm no man." And that's what the devil wants to say. Remember, the Bible says, "I will exalt myself above God. I will exalt myself to the very throne room of heaven." See, that's the pride that the devil had. Is, "I'm a god, you can't do battle with me." And that's what the devil wants to try and get us to believe. But this picture, I think, will help you understand how defeated the devil is. Can we roll that? Check this out.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by that.
Is that him?
Puny god.
I love that. I love that remark, puny god. It just reminds me, is that him? That picture of Loki when he's in the cement there. Is that him? Is that the one that misled? Is that the one that fooled the nations? Ephesians 6:11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand," say stand, "against the wiles of the devil." I don't know why I say it that way, but every time I read this, I just think of that. I mean, because I don't get to use that word very often. The wiles of the devil. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." 4 times in this passage of Scripture, the word stand is used. You and I, what we need to do is stand in the authority, just like Hulk did. We need to stand. What we're doing is saying, "You are already defeated. Jesus defeated you for me, and now I'm going to stand on the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Stand and see the deliverance of the Lord." You see recorded in Scripture in Exodus 14:13, as well as 2 Chronicles 20:17, 2 separate stories. We're not going to turn there this morning. One of them is when Moses is leading the children of Israel out of bondage from the Egyptians, and they're standing at the Red Sea. The other story is when Jehoshaphat is about to lead his troops in a victorious battle, and God tells him to send the singers and the musicians first, and God says the same thing in both instances. He says, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord." You and I need to learn how to stand. Say stand. in what God has given us. And if we're going to have victory in spiritual warfare, we have got to realize we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. There is a devil, but he is not all-powerful. He is not everywhere all the time. He's probably not doing battle with me anyway. But if he is not even close to being enough to whip me, because Jesus has defeated him. And now what I need to do is stand on the Word of God and be filled up with the Word of God. You know, as a Christian, if you and I would just meditate on God's promises, we would have the victory that Christ wants for us. If we would just look at the Word. But so many times we don't want to do that. And that's why at this church, we try to do everything we can. We give you things to read. We say, man, you can read through the Bible. And listen, it's not about showing off how many verses you read. This is not a bunch of works. But either you want to be victorious or not. And really, if we're going to be victorious, we've got to get in a place where we're used to reading the Word of God, standing on it, and standing against the wiles of the devil. And what are the wiles of the devil anyway? Wiles means a strategy of deceit and trickery. A strategy of deceit and trickery. And so you and I can stand against it. Now you may say, well, Pastor, I've been believing the Word of God. I've been praying. I believe for this, and I've been standing on the Word of God. I want to take just our next few moments, and I want to help us understand maybe a little picture of what spiritual warfare is like. Because even though the enemy has been defeated, even though we've been given the victory, even though our weapons are the Word of God, and what we need to do now is stand, the Bible says again four times in what we just read in Ephesians 6 to stand, because standing is the battle. Standing on it, because it's sometimes going to take a bit of time until you have the revelation or the breakthrough that the Word of God says that Jesus has purchased for you. And I think it's a perfect picture of kind of how spiritual warfare works in the Old Testament. Remember, somebody said this. I think I've heard a couple of preachers say this, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so we can look at the Old Testament. It gives us a picture in battles, showing us what the spiritual battle looks like that we have now. And in Daniel chapter 10, we'll turn there in a moment, we see that Daniel has been praying to the Lord for instruction, for wisdom, and he's been seeking the Lord and praying for a breakthrough. And an angel comes and brings him this message. Listen to what it says. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." That's encouraging. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Now, they called it Persia in that day. You and I would know it as Iraq, Iran, that area in the Middle East. And what we see here, it's a spiritual battle that takes place. And it says, from the first day that Daniel prayed, this angel was sent. See, the Bible says, and we'll get into more of this over the next weeks to come, that the angels of the Lord heed the very word of God, that they are ministers, flames of fire, that obey the word of God. And so when you and I pray, we are dispatching angels that are doing battle on our behalf. All right? And so what we see here is it took 21 days for the answer that Daniel was seeking. Say stand. Say stand. See, you need to continue to stand. I need to continue to stand on the Word of God, knowing that the battle and the victory have been given to us, but there is still battle that is being done with spiritual beings in high places. And so you and I, as we pray, as we stand on the Word of God, we're not fighting and wrestling in the way you might think. We're wrestling for our thoughts to continue to stand firm on the Word of God, and it's a spiritual battle that's taking place. I mean, you think about the Middle East. Again, this is, they call it Persia. We know it as Iran and Iraq. They said it was the prince of Persia. There's a spirit. That part of the world is crazy. All right? It has been since the beginning of time, just about, really. See, we think just recently that Saddam Hussein was our problem. Saddam Hussein wasn't our problem. It's the spiritual wickedness in high places that really is in control of that area. So what you and I need to know is there is a spiritual warfare taking place, but we're standing on the Word of God. We're going to have to stand. It could take a few days. It could take weeks. But don't give up. Don't quit. Don't fold. Don't give in. It's really kind of like really going forth and walking into the promised land. And we don't have time to turn to this morning. We got to wrap things up. But as we continue the series, really having the victory through spiritual warfare is like us going in and claiming the land that Jesus has already given to us. And you see this recorded in the Old Testament. We'll take time in the weeks to come, and we'll take a look at how Moses was given instruction by God that when I bring you into the promised land, you're going to inherit lands and buildings and things that you didn't build, that you didn't hew, things that you didn't construct, but you're going to live in them and dwell in them. But you have a battle to fight with the inhabitants who are trying to be, calls them thorns or hooks in your side. And that's what you and I have to battle for, is battling for our thoughts, our intents, our mind, our will, our emotions, and standing firm on the Word of God. But as you and I learn in this series how to be able to stand on the Word of God, you are going to have more. Matter of fact, today, if you just realize that you are battling a defeated foe, if you will realize that he's a puny God, come on, somebody, if you just realize that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to God for pulling down strongholds, casting down vain imaginations, and everything that will exalt itself against the obedience of Christ. What's the obedience of Christ? Jesus Christ was fully and completely obedient for you and I. And his obedience has given us the victory. And so now all we need to do is look at the Word of God and say, because of Christ's righteousness, because of his obedience, I have been set on a high place. The Bible says that nothing by any means will harm me. I have been given all authority over all the enemy because Jesus has given me the victory and given me the authority. And if you would just take that home with you and start to look at the Word of God, you'll be further ahead than you were when you got here this morning. And I guarantee you're going to have a breakthrough in your life. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today that the Word of God has gone forth in these good hearts. Today, Father, I thank you that it's taking root and it's bearing fruit